and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, praise the Lord.
Oh, let's sing it again.
Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, praise the Lord.
Sing it again.
Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, I'm redeemed, praise the Lord.
Evening.
Amen.
Who are you seeking? John, why are you weeping? Has prevailed and now is come. So look upon the Lamb bleeding for all men. Redemption is at hand. Come forth now to of God's bride is at hand. She's passed every test, and in her Lord she rests. Soon, very soon, deliverance will come to sinner, time is escaping. No more in doubt and sin to remain. For Christ is on display. Follow him in her today. She holds the door open. Salvation to you. Child, why are you weeping? The marriage of the Lamb is come. This word brings to life that seed on the inside. That union has come now. Let Christ be to you. Bride, why are you crying? Like Enoch, keep walking. It's God to us talking.
We bring praise to you, Lord.
Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of coming and singing together of your glorious, wonderful magnificence, Lord. So we lift our voices to praise you, Lord. You've given us a promise, Lord, that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you'll be in their midst. We welcome you, Lord, and we pray that you find welcome amongst us. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of gathering with my brothers and sisters. As we took a look into your word, Lord, we're asking that you would come and break the bread of life to us with your own hand, Lord. God, that you would use the vessel that's here, Lord, that if we can just move ourselves out of the way, Lord, that you can come on the scene, that you can operate, Lord, through this vessel according to your purpose, Lord, according to your plan. God, that you can feed us on the word that we have need of, Lord, and we can grow thereby. We can be sustained by the word. We can grow by it, Lord, and be strengthened. We pray, Lord, that you would take preeminence among us and that we would all give you first place, that you'd speak to us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. While we're standing, let's take our Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I just want to give you an update. We were able to go over to Brother Levi Yoder and his family's place over in Stark County, just north of Holmes County, on Sunday evening, and had a service there. We had a really, really wonderful time. It was really a nice home meeting, and we thank God for his presence and for the word. And Brother Levi's brother Ben and his whole family was there, so it was good to have them there and join us, and God's doing a work amongst them all. So we thank you for your prayers. Thank you to those who were able to travel out and support the services there, and we just had a wonderful time. And so I just wanted to give you an update on that. Also, I got a report that Brother Jason DeMars is starting to improve. Amen. So thank you for your prayers. He's beginning to show signs of improvement. They're just beginning to wean him off of the oxygen, and so far he's responding well to that. So they're hoping if things go well in another day or two, they may be able to get him out of ICU into a regular room. So just continue to hold the brother up in prayer that God will give him a full restoration. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's take and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen. You can have your seats. We ask the Lord to add his blessing to the reading of his word this evening. Amen. I appreciate your song, Sister Jackie. It was really special. It's quite a sacrifice for Sister Jackie to drive all the way over here, amen, to sing something the Lord has given her, but it was quite a blessing. And there was one section in there that really touched me and really blessed me, because it's the subject that I'm preaching on tonight. And so I love when God does something like that. It's such an encouragement. I'd like to continue on with that series I was on, The Unexpected Fulfillment. This is The Unexpected Fulfillment, part 5. And I want to talk about the marriage of the Lamb. Amen. So remember, the series is The Unexpected Fulfillment. Amen. And it's so good. This past Sunday, we were talking about God's word brings order. And I was just sharing with you what I had shared with the brothers in the ministers meeting on Zoom. And it so blessed me. And I was so thankful for that. And not to get into church order, but just to show that God has order. Amen. And the purpose of that order. So it so blessed me. And I had a little bit more in that, but I just felt not to go there, to come back here. So I thank God for that. I just felt to go this direction. I did. And God sent Sister Jackie over to sing a song to let me know that we're on the right track. Amen. So we thank God for that. Amen. When we look at this, the unexpected fulfillment, we've been talking about how we have prophecies in the Old Testament, and those Old Testament prophecies, when it comes time for them to come into manifestation for the fulfillment of the prophecy, that the fulfillment of the prophecy could never looks like the intellectual understanding of that prophecy. Like, the best example, the one that we've been using all the way through, is when John the Baptist came, and John the Baptist was the fulfillment of the prophecy out of Isaiah and out of Malachi. Amen. Behold, I send my messenger before my face to prepare the way. And Isaiah, he's going to make a highway in the wilderness. He's going to make the high places low and the low places high and the crooked places straight. Amen. And he's going to do all of these things. But when you read those prophecies, there's no way that when you read the prophecy and understanding the language and being able to read the book, there's no way that you can envision a man with a beard wrapped in camel's hair, amen, standing on the bank of Jordan screaming for you to repent. Like, when you read the prophecy, you cannot come up with that picture. And so then you can understand why it was easy to miss John the Baptist's ministry. In fact, the more intellectual you are and the more Bible trained you were, the more likely you were to miss it. Amen? And even in Jesus' ministry, Jesus came as the fulfillment of the prophecies, and the prophecy was speaking of one whom would sit on his father's throne, his father David. So he's going to come to be a king, and the government was going to be upon his shoulder, and he was going to be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Amen. These are all wonderful titles. And when you read those as a Jew under bondage to Rome, and you begin to read that prophecy, you can see how it'd be easy to envision a mighty warrior coming on the scene, a mighty God in the flesh who will drive out, amen, the Romans and set up the kingdom, amen, restore the kingdom and set up the throne of David. And that's why when Jesus came humble and meek, and he was lowly and born in a manger and raised up by obscure parents, and even his birth had a suspicion about it, amen. And rumors that would fly, all of these things, when you see that, they could not look at Jesus, and they could not see the prophecy out of Isaiah. But he was standing there fulfilling the prophecy out of Isaiah. So the prophecy has an unexpected fulfillment. It's fulfilled in an unexpected way. And Brother Bam said God often does things in an unusual way. An unusual manner. And the prophecy was filled exactly according to the word, but not according to the predetermined conception. And that's why when the predetermined conception and the fulfillment don't match, the fulfillment is rejected and man holds on to his conception. And that's why it's so dangerous, amen, to have everything already figured out. Amen. It was dangerous in that day. It's dangerous in this day. Amen. But God, amen, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. And when he brings it to pass, he has a mechanism called revelation, amen, where he can get the revelation to his elect predestinated seed, and he can reveal to them that this is the fulfillment of that. And that's the only way that it ever works. It doesn't work any other way. Study won't do it. Coercion won't do it. Threats won't do it. Force won't do it. Persuasive speech won't do it. There's no other way to get somebody to recognize the word that's coming to manifest in their day other than for God to have a prophecy laid down and God to interpret his word by bringing it to pass. And then when he brings it to pass, he gives a gift of revelation, a revelation that comes from the Father that will open the eyes of his children to see that this is it. Amen. So you can see why all down through the Bible, what God was doing was always being missed by the masses. Every fulfillment, you go down and look at every single fulfillment. When God is fulfilling his word and he's working through a prophet and he's fulfilling prophecy and he's bringing about everything that he prophesied to do, amen, in the fulfillment, it's missed by the masses. Only a few ever receive the fulfillment of God. And as it's coming unfolding. So we find ourselves in the same situation today. Amen. God has fulfilled his word. Amen. That he promised us in Luke 17:30 and in Malachi 4. God has already fulfilled that. That's past for us. But most of the world doesn't know it. Only a few people know it. Amen. Because it came in an unexpected way. It came through an unexpected source in an unexpected location in an unexpected way. Amen. But why is it though the millions and billions of the people in the world cannot see that that ministry was the fulfillment of Malachi 4, cannot see it was the fulfillment of Luke 17:30? Amen. But you have no problem seeing that. And you're less educated. Sorry. Not as well equipped, not as well known. But for you, it's no problem. You say, that's that, amen. Malachi 4, I saw it, amen. Luke 17:30, I witnessed it. I believe that, amen. That wasn't from your intellect. That wasn't from study or your ability to read. The only way that you can get those two things together, your revelation and the fulfillment of the word, is because God has given you a revelation. That's why it's hard to have a revelation of the word and be proud and arrogant. Because if you really caught a revelation of the word, not because you agreed mentally, you could see it and tied it together, you could be really arrogant about those things because you tied it together. Somebody taught you and my dad and mom and pastor, and I've got this thing all figured out. Amen. That's not real revelation. Anything. That thing will fizzle as soon as the fire gets close to it. But when it comes to a real, genuine revelation from God, amen, it'll stand the test of persecution. It'll stand the questionings that come from the world and religious people and family. It'll take all of those things. And at the end of the day, you'll be able to say, amen, even though I can't always explain it, I can't make you see it, I know that this is true. Amen. And there's no way you can get arrogant or puffed up about that because sometimes you can't even explain yourself. It's not intellectual, amen. It's not any of those things. It's something that God has given. And when God gives it, and you know that God gave it, and you know you had nothing to do with it, all you can say is thank you, God, for eyes to see and ears to hear. I didn't do it myself. I was incapable of doing it. I think one of the greatest blessings, amen, that God has ever done for me is let me believe this message for 20-some years. And while believing the message, he let me get the wrong idea about things Brother Branham said. And then would come and give me a revelation that would totally unravel my thinking so that I could see how flawed my intellectual understanding is and how perfect God's revelation is so that I will finally get to the point where it says, I don't know anything. That's why the scripture says when you think you know something, you know nothing as you ought. So the minute you think you know something, well, I really know what that seventh seal is. I'll tell you right now, you don't know it like you ought to. Amen. That's the truth. No matter what, if we think we know anything, we don't know it as we ought to. So praise be to God. I said, God, help me to know it as I ought to. Amen. I love the real. The real is so much different than the phony. It brings such a different character. It brings such a different attitude. It brings such a different approach. And I love the real. Let's turn to Matthew 25 together. Matthew 25, and I'll begin reading at verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. So that what Brother Branham refers to all the time as the midnight cry, amen? That was the cry that Brother Branham gave, amen? He was the one crying, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out ye to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Amen. Brother Branham preached on this quite a bit. And if you know that, and every time Brother Branham preached on this, He did not preach on this future tense. He always preached this present tense. He said, do you see all the denominations going to try to buy oil? He said, when you see that, that's when he comes. Amen. And Brother Branham is showing that this Matthew 25 is taking place while he's on earth, because he's the one with the midnight cry, amen? He's the one calling out, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. And so that's his ministry, amen, calling the bride out, amen, at the coming of the Lord, to meet the Lord. And where's he calling them out of? Calling them out of the city, calling them out. What's the city? It's a type of Jerusalem. It's a type of the old church system. And he's calling them out of the church system, calling them out of the Laodicean system to go meet the Lord. And so they awoke and trimmed their lamps when the midnight cry went out. So Brother Branham is over and over and over, he's relating this Matthew 25 to his day, to his ministry, to events that are taking place in his time. Amen. Just go and listen to what he says. And he does it over and over and over again. And he's calling you to go out to meet him. And then some went to buy oil. And Brother Branham began to explain that. He says, you see these Methodists and the Presbyterians and even the Lutherans and Catholics, amen, they're going to try to go get the Holy Ghost. They're going out and looking for oil, amen, and they won't find it, amen. But they're all looking. There's been a great revival that have hit the land. And they're all looking for something, amen. But they're missing the very source, amen, the very thing. So then it comes and it says, while they were gone looking for oil, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Yes. And the door was shut. They went in with him to the marriage. Hold that in your mind. They went in with him. Those who came out to meet him, who left the city to go out and meet him at the midnight cry, they went with him into the marriage. Praise be to God. In the message, Ashamed, Brother Branham, this is from 1965, Brother Branham said, surely there is something in this word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Some character in there that you dealt with would be on some basis that would be my question. If somebody done something and you got after them about it, then let me turn to that place in the Bible. Brother Branham is asking God to answer something for him. He's disturbed about something in his ministry and he wants an answer from the Lord. And he's saying, surely in this Bible, you've dealt with somebody in a certain way. You've corrected him. You've said something that'll help me. And so he's turning to the Bible and asking God to give him an answer to his question. And he said, and if somebody, whatever they've done, it'll lean my way, where I've done wrong or something you want me to do or haven't done, let me see some character in the Bible like that. I closed my eyes, just let the Bible fall open, put my finger on the scripture, Genesis 24:7, Eliezer, Abraham's faithful servant. The model servant of the Bible being sent to hunt the bride for Isaac. And Brother Bam says, chills run over me. I hope a few chills run over you. Because God is identifying this man's ministry. And when God identifies this man's ministry, his ministry is that of Eliezer to go and hunt a bride for Isaac. So if God is identifying this man's ministry, and this man's ministry came to you to call you out, then who are you? If you can identify that ministry, and if God can identify that ministry, and he says, chills, he said, chills run over me. Oh, chills run over me, friends, amen. Because if he's Eliezer, and he come and called me and united me with somebody, who am I and who am I united with? What was he here doing? Amen. Chills run over me. Sure, that's my, that's right with the rest of my message, pulling out the bride. Pulling him out by what? A midnight cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. He said, he goes back to the scripture, he said, swear that you'll not take a bride out of these, but go to my own people. He said, what if the woman won't come with me? He said, then you're free from this oath. He said, and the God of heaven will send his angel before you to direct you. He went right straight out and began praying, and he met the beautiful Rebekah that became the bride of Isaac. Just a perfect message back to the word, go get that bride. That's a duty. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm trying to do is call out a bride. When was he calling out the bride? When did the midnight call come? When the bridegroom was coming. It all happens at the same time. Let's go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. In verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. So we read in this scripture that there was a voice of many waters and thunderings crying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Amen. When we look at this call, amen, I would like to bring your attention to the fact that in the book of Revelations and throughout the Bible, amen, God is showing a prophecy, amen, through Matthew 25. He's showing a prophecy of a midnight cry coming, amen, of wise virgins going in when he cometh and going in with him. And he shows a prophecy here, or he shows a fulfillment in Revelation 19. Amen, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the bride hath made herself ready. Amen, but when I look through the scriptures and I look through them, I never see the actual marriage. Where do you see the actual marriage? It's a mystery in the Bible. It's hidden. You see that the marriage has come and the bride has made herself ready, and it describes that she's ready. But who's doing the ceremony? Who says what? What's happening? There's a mystery, amen? You don't see the marriage in the Bible. You see the preparation. You see the calling. Amen. You see the bridegroom call. You see the virgins go out and they go in with him into the marriage. You see, amen, the bride and her preparation, and she's now made herself ready. But you don't see the marriage because the marriage is in secret. Amen. It's hidden. Amen. It's even hidden in the Bible. These things are written this way for a reason. Amen. And I want to look at this quote in Proving His Word, and I just want to keep working with this thought as we meditate on it. Proving His Word. Now we say he's raised from the dead. I didn't say it. The word here said it. He raised from the dead. He says he's the same yesterday,
yesterday, same yesterday and forever. You believe that. He promised these things to happen in the last days. The same Son of Man will be made manifest. Now, the same Son of Man will be made manifest. Is that true? In the last days, was the same Son of Man made manifest? But was he made manifest in the same vessel? Now he was made manifest in another vessel. He's made manifest in the prophet of the age. But it's the same Son of Man. And we realize that when God goes to fulfill his word and he brings his word to pass, amen, he doesn't do it according to our intellectual understanding because we have a certain expectation, amen. If this is going to be the coming of the Son of Man and revealing himself, then we're looking for that same vessel, that same one, amen. But that one who died, amen, at Calvary, Jesus Christ in the flesh, he rose again and he showed himself to his disciples. But when the one disciple, Thomas, when Thomas, he said, I won't believe until I can put my fingers in the nail prints and thrust my hand into his side. So Jesus presents himself to disciples and said, Thomas, come and put thy finger in my hand and thrust thy hand in my side. And Thomas says, my God, amen. He calls him God. He recognizes who this is. But Jesus said, because you see, you believe. But blessed is those who don't see and believe. Because we're moving from Jewish faith to Gentile faith. And the Gentile faith does not have to have the tangible physical like the Jewish does to believe. Thomas was a Jew. He had to see the resurrected Lord. He had to touch his nail prints. He had to thrust his side. But you and I will not get that privilege, amen, to touch that, amen, in this dispensation of time. But yet I believe he's here every bit just the same. And there was a blessing, amen, to come on those who would not see yet believe. That's why Paul the apostle in his ministry, Paul is constantly, he's preaching to the Gentiles and he's constantly taking things that were physical to the Jews and he's making them spiritual to the Gentiles. And this is Paul's ministry. Paul is taking an exodus, an actual physical exodus where they left Egypt in slavery, amen, and they moved through physical land and they had physical manna come and physical water come out of a rock. And brother Paul takes that, amen, and he takes that same thing and he types it to what was going on in their day. And said that was done for our example so that we would know how to conduct ourselves and not to fail the way they failed. It's Paul in Hebrews 12 says, you've not come to a mountain that can be touched, that burneth with fire, but you've come to Mount Zion. He's saying you've come to a mountain, but not a mountain you can touch. So the question is, did you come to a mountain like they went to a mountain? Absolutely, just the same thing is happening in this dispensation that happened under Moses, but Moses was the physical. Paul is bringing it to the supernatural, the spiritual fulfillment. God gave them a sign of circumcision. Amen. Now Paul takes circumcision and makes it spiritual circumcision, the circumcision of the heart. Is that right? Jesus tells them that you must eat my flesh and you must drink my blood. But the apostle Paul sorts that out and shows that the elements in communion are symbolic of a spiritual partaking, amen, of his word and of his life. Is that right? So we as Gentiles, all the way down through 2,000 years of church history, have not had a problem recognizing our circumcision is an invisible circumcision. Our communion is an invisible communion. All of the armor that we armored with, the shield, the helmet, it's all invisible. We've had no problem for 2,000 years that the Mount Zion we've come to, the great company of angels, to the blood of the Lamb, it was all invisible. And we've had no problem with that. Amen. So being Gentiles, we shouldn't have problems believing what you don't see. When the word is fulfilled, amen, it's fulfilled. Amen, we don't have to see to believe. We have to see the fulfillment. And by revelation, we can say, that's it. Amen. So Brother Branham is saying now, and continuing proving his word, he says, now remember, That was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not been born. He had not yet been born. But it was a man in human flesh that Abraham called Elohim, the great Almighty. And Jesus says, as it was in the days of Sodom, now watch close. In the days of Sodom, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed, not no more as church, see, not no more the bride is called, see. In that day, the Son of Man will be revealed, what? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. So what was this revelation of the Son of Man to do? It was to unite the headship of Christ, the word that's come back, to the bride that's been called out of the churches. Amen. There's a calling out and there's a coming. Just like Matthew 25. There's a calling out, come out to meet him, and there's a coming of the headship. Is that right? So we have a coming and a coming out. And when you come out and he comes, then you meet and it unites the two together in the marriage of the bride. Amen. That's what this ministry and Brother Branham was supposed to do. This Eliezer was supposed to fetch a bride for Isaac and bring the bride all the way to Isaac. Amen. The Eliezer ministry was not just to say, hey, you're the bride, but to bring the bride all the way to a union with Christ. Amen. Is that what Eliezer did? Amen. So this has been revealed now. This, the day of the Son of Man will be revealed. What? To join the church to the head, unite the marriage of the bride. The bridegroom call will come right through this. What bridegroom call? The midnight cry, Matthew 25. Will come right through this when the Son of Man will come down. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. The Son of Man will come down and come in human flesh to unite the two together. What's the uniting two together? That's the marriage of the bride. The church has to be the Word. He is the Word, and the two unite together. And to do that, it'll take the manifestation of the revealing of the Son of Man, not a clergyman. Do you see what I mean? It's Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will come down in human flesh among us and will make his word so real that it'll unite the church and him as one, the bride, and then she'll go home to the wedding supper. Amen. She's already united. See, we go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. So where's the marriage? It's got to be here. Amen. What's the marriage? It's the invisible union of the bride and Christ. That's the marriage. The Son of the revealing of the Son of Man has come to unite the coming of the Son of Man and unite the bride that's come out and take the headship and the body and put it together in a union that is the marriage. Some people won't get married until the wedding supper. Too late, amen? You've got to get married now. Some people want to wait to see something to get married. Amen. This is an invisible union. Remember the words of the prophet. Amen. Don't wait to see something to get married. When you've seen the revelation of the Son of Man, then you know that the revelation of the Son of Man is what the bridegroom call came through. The midnight cry came through this revelation of the Son of Man. And this revelation of the Son of Man has come to unite. First, it's an Eliezer to call out a bride to Isaac, to bring a bride out, amen, the bridegroom call. And then, amen, to bring the headship of the word down and the bride that's called out together. And this ministry was to unite the two together. Praise God. She's already united. We go to the wedding supper, not to the marriage. See? Fill yourself of the flesh of mighty men, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, but the rapture is going to the wedding supper. When the word here unites with the person and they two become one, and then what does it do then? It manifests the Son of Man again, not the church theologians, the Son of Man. The word and the church becomes one. Whatever the Son of Man done, he was the word. The church does the same thing. So now it's easy. We've talked about these things many times. This is old news, but I just love it. It doesn't get old to me. We've seen the ministry, amen, of the revealing of the Son of Man through a prophet. We've heard the midnight call. We've seen the ministry of Eliezer. And so we can get so fixated on the ministry of Eliezer and the midnight cry, amen, and the revealing of the Son of Man, that we miss that all of that came to do something to me. All of that came to unite me, amen. First, it came to call me out. To get me to leave that church condition, amen? To get me to leave it behind. So it came to call me out to recognize that he's come, amen? And then it come to unite the two together, amen? So that I can go with him into the marriage. Praise God. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. See, when we read in Revelation 19, amen, she was clothed in white raiment, which is the righteousness of the saints. And here in the Laodicean church age, amen, Christ is trying to get her, amen, to recognize you're not clothed, amen. You're miserable, you're wretched, amen. But come to me, buy of me gold, buy of me raiment, amen. I've got something to clothe you with. I've got something to give you wealth. I've got something to clothe you with in this age. Amen. I'll read verse 18 again. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So here we find in the end time in the Laodicean church age, we find Christ on the outside of the church knocking, amen. And that's why Brother Branham starts preaching, and Paul starts preaching in, I think it's Hebrew 13. He said, he suffered outside the gate. Now let us go in unto him without the gate, bearing his reproach. And you see everything in this Laodicean age shows that in Laodicea, there is a wretched, naked, miserable condition, but there's got to be a calling out, amen, to have the gold and the raiment and the eye salve and all of that. You've got to go out to where he is, and he is on the outside, which matches Matthew 25, which matches Eliezer, because he has to bring her out. Amen. When he brings her out, he gives her all kinds of gold, and he gives her raiment, and he gives her all kinds of stuff. Amen. She gets all the gifts, and then she gets brought out. So everything is lining up for this final age, that you have to come out and you have to be clothed with the garment that's provided. And you've got to be called out. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, if any man hear my voice, what's he knocking with? He's knocking with a voice, and that voice is the midnight cry, amen? It is the one with the revelation of the Son of Man. It is Malachi 4. It is the voice, amen? If anyone hear my voice, and then you come out, become one with him. Amen. In 1964, the prophet says, when their eyes were open, they knew him. And that message, he says, so it is today. The God that they claim, that they believe, that manifests himself, you will shut up every door, no cooperation, no nothing else. It's contrary to their creeds. Oh, fools and slow of hearing to know the day that we live in. Has not God promised this in the last day? How this Laodicean church would be lukewarm and Jesus on the outside trying to get in for a little cooperation? What is Jesus? The Word, the true Word that's made manifest on the outside trying to get in and couldn't get in. Amen. He come in the last day. He come in the end time, and he could not get in. They would not let the Word into the system. Amen. They rejected it, and that's why Brother Branham could come in 1963 and preach indictment, and I indict this bunch of clergy. I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of Jesus Christ. By what? By crucifying the effects of the Word, amen? Because the Word was restored, which is nothing more than Jesus Christ, amen? And they rejected Christ in the Laodicean age and left him on the outside, amen? And there's a bridegroom call saying the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. Now he suffered without the gate because they wouldn't let him in, and they crucified him afresh. So now we must go to him without the gate, bearing his reproach. What reproach are we bearing? The same reproach that Moses bore in his day. Because Moses, amen, he forsook Egypt and all the riches thereof, amen, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all of Egypt. So Moses had to leave Egypt and go out to bear the reproach of Christ. We have to leave Laodicea, leave the church systems, leave the denominational system, and go out and bear his reproach. Well, what was he in Moses' day? He was the Word made manifest for that day, and Moses went with that Word, that prophecy coming to fulfillment, and he had to bear the reproach of that Word coming flesh in his day. There's nothing different in our day. We're bearing the reproach for the Word made flesh in our day. So the bridegroom call tells us he's come. He's coming. Come out to meet him. Amen. In the message, the present stage of my ministry says, well, all men has forsaken me. But there's one thing, he stood by me. I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision that happened down there on the river. I've stayed true to him. He's been true to me. Amen. I'm trusting in him. Someday, I don't know when, for a crowning of my ministry, I've stayed just as true as I could be. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know when it'll be. And just when he's ready, I'm done up here. I hope that he will crown my ministry of this, of letting me take the clothes of the Word and dress his bride in the clothes of the Word and for his righteousness. I hope he will crown me. Let me stand on that day, say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Brother Branham is saying that I hope for the crowning of my ministry. He lets me take the clothes of the Word. And he lets me dress his bride in the clothes of the Word. Hey, listen, we know who this is, amen? This is Eliezer fetching a bride for Isaac. This is the one who gives the midnight cry, the bridegroom cometh. This is Malachi 4. This is the fulfillment of Luke 17, 30, the revelation of the Son of Man. This is the one that'll come, amen? And when the Son of Man comes in the flesh to manifest himself, to unite the two together in the marriage of the bride, this is that man. And that man is saying, I hope that for a crowning of my ministry, he lets me clothe, amen, take the clothes of the Word and dress that bride. And so now you go to Revelation 19, and in Revelation 19, the bride has made herself ready. Let's read it, Revelation 19. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Where did she get this linen? Where did she get her clothing? Where did it come from? Amen. It came from Eliezer. Amen. Brother Branham's calling for the crowning of his ministry to be the very thing that she needs to be dressed in Revelation 19. And so listen, we're not looking for physical physical manifestation. I would like to tell you right now, amen, that this garment I'm wearing, amen, and this garment is the Word, amen. It's Jesus Christ, the Word. I've been clothed in the Word that come from the ministry of a prophet. The Word has been restored, and that cloth was put to a bride, and this bride has made herself ready by submitting to that ministry and putting the clothes on. And if you have the wedding garment, if you have the clothes, amen, is it possible you can be in Revelation 19, amen? Amen, where are we? Amen, what are we looking for? What dress is she going to wear? Where's the ceremony? Who's the officiant of the ceremony? Oh, it's an invisible union, and I've got on an invisible dress, amen? You can't see it in this dimension, but I promise you in another dimension it's showing up, amen? And I've been clothed, amen, with what Eliezer has provided in this day. What Haggai has provided for Esther, she put on. And she required nothing more but what Haggai had appointed. All of these things are pointing to the same thing, friends. We have to understand, I've heard the midnight cry. I've went out to meet him with oil in my lamp. I've got the wedding garment on because a prophet has given it, has provided it. It's the crowning of his ministry, amen. And the crowning of his ministry is to clothe me for a wedding. What's the dress? It's the Word. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. You can say, what are you trying to do, Brother Chad? I'm trying to get you to see your day and its message. And quit looking to the future. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. Where do you get this righteousness and how can you get it put on? It's the faith of Jesus Christ that's unto all them that believe. That believe what? Oh, I believe certain verses out of the Bible and I believe that something happened 2,000 years ago on Golgotha. No, to believe him, to believe the Word when the Word is present tense today. And there's a righteousness, amen, the righteousness of God, which comes by the faith of Jesus Christ. You have to have the faith of Jesus Christ, amen. To those who believe. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I hope I can find Philippians. Yeah, Philippians chapter 3. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Remember, she's clothed in a garment that's righteousness. That's her righteousness. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 and 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What did you put on? Amen. You put on the anointed word for your day. Amen. You put on what the prophet has given us, which is the word. What has the prophet given us? The word. Amen. He wanted to take the clothes of the Word to dress a bride. What did he restore to us? The Word. What has come back in our hands? The Word. What are we putting on? We're putting on Christ, which is the righteousness of God by the faith of Christ, by the faith of Jesus Christ, to them that believe what? That believe the day that we're in, that believe what Thomas needed to touch. You don't need to touch to believe. You can touch him with a different touch. You can see him with different eyes. You can hear him with different ears. In the message, the rapture, Brother Bram says, We can forgive, but we could forgive you, but always remember you've done those evil things. Then you're not just, you're forgiven. But in the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never did it in the first place. Amen. Standing there, married to the virtuous Son of God. Never sinned in the first place. Why? She was foreordained. She was trapped into this. And now when she heard the truth and come forth, the blood cleansed her. And she stands there virtuous. She no sin in her at all. Brother Branham now is looking at a bride. He's here in 1965, in December of 1965. His ministry's almost over. It's almost time for him to leave. And he begins declaring, amen, in 1965, that because she's been washed by the water of the word, she now stands as the sinless, spotless, virtuous bride of Jesus Christ. And when he comes here to the rapture, he says, what? She's standing there married. Brother Branham says, she's married. Paul says, I've espoused you. Brother Branham says, he's Eliezer going to fetch a bride. But here in December of 1965, 3 or 4 weeks before God takes him home, he says she's standing here married to the virtuous Son of God. I didn't see the marriage. When you read Revelation 19, if we could erase everything we know about the message, and go back to Revelation 19, and you could hear all the shoutings and thunderings and hallelujahs, and praise be to God for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And you come to that, oh, I just want to read it because it's so good to me. Revelation 19. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. When you read this scripture, you can say, oh, the bride, amen, his wife, hath made herself ready, and she's been appointed a fine white linen garment, amen, which is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. We're coming, I would say, to a major event. A major event in the entire Bible. I would say we're coming to one of the most major events in the entire Bible, and that one of the most major events in the entire Bible is the marriage of the Lamb. Would you say that? But when you come to the marriage of the Lamb, it's a big deal. It's a big event. It's got to be huge. There's got to be bridal attendants, and there's got to be a horse-drawn carriage, and there's got to be trumpets blowing, and there's got to be this, and there's got to be that, and there's got to be this. But Brother Branham in his ministry, amen, he's there with the bridegroom call. He's there, amen, with the cloth of the word. He's there with the water of purification to purify a bride. He's there with everything until he can finally said, she's married. He can preach invisible union. And the marriage took place, and what happened? Where was it? I didn't see it. I missed it. The biggest event in all the Bible, and I just missed it. When was it? What service? What happened? I didn't see it. He's the forerunner. Okay, he's the forerunner. He's the midnight call. Okay, he's got the clothes of the word. Okay, I got all this. We're preparing for marriage. He's Eliezer calling by. I got it. We come to the end. He preaches invisible union. What happened? Where was the marriage? Where was this huge event? Where was this event that we've been waiting for thousands and thousands of years? The marriage of the Lamb. What is it? It's a secret, friends. It's the third pool. You won't tell this to nobody. It's the event that takes place in the little room under the tent. And you go in one by one and come out and can't describe it. What is it? It's the third pool. It's the mystery under the seventh seal. It's private. It's huge. Is it huge? Nobody knew. Big, huge event that man has waited for 6,000 years. And it happens, and nobody knows. Brother Branham said, don't look for great big things, amen. That's why when he started preaching the seals, he started with God hiding himself in simplicity and revealing himself in the same. If you're looking for the big event, you've missed it. Because God can turn this earth on its axis and it never creaks, it never pops, it never makes a sound. He can evaporate 2 million gallons of water off the earth when the sun comes up and you never hear it. Amen. Big things, Brother Branham said, are silent. They go unnoticed. Amen. And now you've come in the Bible. All this says is he come and he took her into the marriage. What happened? Well, I mean, what was the meeting like? Who was there? Who sang the songs? Who did the service? It doesn't tell us anything. It said he came and they went into the marriage. Brother Branham said, he's coming, he's coming. The bridegroom is coming. Get ready, come out to meet him. Put on the garment, get ready, follow me. I'm taking you to Isaac. And now before he leaves the scene, he says, she's married now, standing married to the virtuous son of God. I don't get it. You will. Stick with him. And you will. We're looking, everybody's looking for something huge. And it's huge, but it's invisible. You have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Is that sword powerful? It's the sword of the king, isn't it, in this third pool? Show it to me. It's invisible. You have a helmet of salvation that protects your mind under the Word of God. You have one, right? It'll defend you against the blows of the devil. Show it to me. You have a shield of faith. Is that shield of faith, is it able to stop all the fiery darts of the enemy? Show it to me. Just because it's invisible doesn't mean it's not great. Just because it's invisible doesn't mean it's not powerful. Just because it's invisible doesn't mean it's not greater than anything you can see. It doesn't mean it's not a great event. It doesn't mean it's not powerful. It doesn't mean your garment is not pure white, which is your righteousness, which what is it? It's the righteousness of God, which is his word that has been put on you by grace. And he came when they were all looking for oil. And he came and he took them into the marriage. Who in the city saw it? Who knew besides the bridegroom and the virgins? Who knew what happened? Who could explain it? Who was there as an eyewitness? Who was the reporter at the end of the little room when they were coming out changed and the tablet, a paper saying, what happened in there? And they said, I don't know. Unwritten word. No explanation. You go to Revelation 19. Big event coming, big event coming, big event coming. Amen. Now she's ready. She's dressed in white. The marriage of the Lamb has come. What happened? Blessed is he who's called to the marriage supper. You know, you realize in the ancient weddings, amen, they would come, the bridegroom would come, and he would have somebody that would announce his coming. He'd announce his coming, and the bride would come out. It was all prearranged. She would come out with him, and he would take him back. I mean, he would take her back to a little room that was prepared called the bridal chamber, and they would first themselves alone enter into the bridal chamber, and they had to go and consummate the marriage. He had to take her into the marriage first before the marriage supper started. And after they went into the bridal chamber and consummated the marriage, after that, that's when the wedding supper started. That's why don't try to wait for the wedding supper to get married. Amen. It's private. It's in the little room. It's in the bridal chamber. It's just the bridegroom and the bride. That's it. Nobody's invited into the marriage. Everybody's invited to the wedding supper, but the marriage is private. Let's go to Genesis 24. I would say, maybe it's fair to say this, that the marriage of the Lamb is an unexpected fulfillment. I don't even know how the denominations teach this, because when I was there, they weren't even talking about that part. They left those things alone. But what's the denominational idea of the marriage of the Lamb? You know what their idea is. It's humongous. But in reality, it's invisible. Let's look at Eliezer bringing Rebekah back in Genesis 24. We know all that happens there. It's a familiar story. But I want to look here. I want to start at verse 63. Genesis chapter 24, verse 63. Now, if you'll let me do this just for fun. Just let me do this for fun. Don't make a doctrine out of this. But let's take 63 as 1963. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. So where was he at? Amen. He went out into field, amen, in the evening time message. And in the evening time, he goes out to the field to watch for her to come, amen. And he's out, not at home. He's between home and between her place. He's between heaven and between earth, maybe like a cloud in 1963. So let me just do this for fun. Don't make a doctrine out of it. 1963, Isaac went out to meditate in the field at evening time. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, behold, the camels were coming. 1964, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes when she saw Isaac. She lighted off the camel. In 1965, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore, she took a veil and covered herself. It was 1965 when Brother Branham was told to take the picture and turn it to the right. Amen, because the identification of Isaac comes to the bride in 1965. That's a cloud. That's a pyramid. That's a capstone. That's seven angels. And she says, who is that in the field up there? And the prophet Eliezer says, turn it to the right. And said, it's my Lord up there. It's Isaac in 1965. Amen. This is fun for me. 1966, Brother Branham's now off the scene. He's not speaking to Rebekah anymore. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. It's like he goes home and makes a report or something. 1967, and Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This is the wedding of the promised son. This is the marriage of the promised son. Eliezer fetched a bride. Eliezer went and got the bride. Eliezer showered her with gifts and then brought her back on a camel train, brought her back on all this stuff. But when she comes back, amen, in the evening time, amen, he comes out, amen, not in the heavens and not on the earth, but kind of in between. She lifts up her eyes and she sees the cloud. And in 1965, she had asked, who is this? Amen. And Eliezer says, it's my Lord up there. It's the promised son. And she wrapped a veil around herself. She veiled herself in that word she had got while she was riding with Eliezer all that time. And she went to meet her. And here comes the climax. Here comes the marriage. Here comes where she's going to become his wife. Amen. How many attendants? How many guests? Where's Abraham? Where's the musicians? Where's everything? All he does is take her after she leaves Eliezer. Eliezer gives a report and he takes her into the tent and she becomes his wife. I thought the marriage of Abraham was a very wealthy man. I thought the marriage of Abraham would be a bigger deal than this. I thought there would be lots of people. I thought there would be, slain oxes and slain calves and milk pouring and wine by the plenty and all the things that you would expect when the promised son, amen, got this wife, this faithful servant went and fetched in a far country and brought back through a journey, amen. And on all of this effort, and Isaac just takes her to himself and he goes into the tent. Just the two of them. And she becomes his wife. Oh, praise God.
don't miss the marriage. It's that simple. It's that profound and that simple. It's that great and that simple. The message, Marriage and Divorce Now. Brother Ben's preaching 1965. He says, he went right on revealing his word to the body and vindicating him same by himself. His children begin to kind of look more like him because it's fully maturing. They become children of the word, not children of the church, children of the word. And the bride will be a lovely little lady of the word, unadulterated, not touched by any man's organization, any man-made theory. She'll be purely unadulterated bride of the word. Amen, amen. I hope you get that on the air. She'll be the pregnated daughter of God. What's this, Brother Branham, talking about a pregnated bride? I want to see the ceremony first, amen? Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said, the head was took from the grave, so must the body follow him back to Eden, where the head of the family, the man, the bride being the body of the bridegroom, must follow the bride because that's the head. And the head is revealed and come back with eternal life. And the body must follow that because it's husband and wife again. And as long as you're pregnated with the same word, which is his body, you've took his body, become him when you took the word. One more, choosing of a bride. The other is pregnated by the word of God and will bring forth the body, the finished body of Jesus Christ, which is the bride. Brother Branham has got so far past the marriage now. He's here in 1965 and he's preaching a pregnated bride, pregnated by the word, who's come in union with her husband. The two have united as one. She's received his word. Amen. And now she is bringing forth the finished body of Jesus Christ, which is the bride. I want to see the finished body of Jesus Christ. Look to the right. Look to the left. Don't miss it, amen? Don't miss what he's doing. Don't miss how great this is. There's been a marriage. There's been an impregnation of the word. And now there's a bride who's bringing forth the finished body of Jesus Christ, which is the bride. The bride manifestation is the finishing of the body of Jesus Christ. But she had to unite with the head. She had to come into the invisible union. She had to receive the word and be pregnant by the word. And now she has to bring forth the word in manifestation for this day, which is in bride form. Amen. The body of Christ isn't finished yet. How many knows that? A man and his woman is one. And Christ is one body, the word. The bride will have to be the rest of that body. And the two together makes the one body again, like Adam was at the beginning. Man, his wife are one. Now she, the true bride, so sold out to him that she uses no mind of her own. And his mind, of course, is his word. And his word, his will, is his word. This bride, she's been washed. She's been called, washed, clothed, united, impregnated. And now she's bringing forth the finished body of Jesus Christ. But I didn't see anything. I did. You realize when it comes to the third pool, it doesn't matter what anybody else sees. When it comes to the seventh seal and the third pool, it matters not what the masses see, because there was a lot of people in that tent that day. And even the prophet of God was raised up in an elevated position looking down. And the prophet of God and all the people had no idea what was happening in that little room. They couldn't describe to you what was happening. They couldn't explain what was happening. And the people who were walking through the room, they were undergoing a complete change. They were changing. They were being transformed. They were being made new again. And they were coming out the other side. And they couldn't even explain to you what happened in that little room. All that they knew is they were changed. This one is not a public show. And this union is not a public show, for it takes place in the bridal chamber with only the bridegroom and only the bride. Everybody is looking for something big. It is big. It's huge. It's bigger than the earth turning on its axis. It's bigger than that. Did you see the earth turning? Did you feel it? Did you know it was turning? How did you know it was turning? Well, other people explained it to me. I mean, how did you prove it? Did you feel it? Did you go far enough away to see it? No. This is bigger than that. But under the third pool, it doesn't matter what anybody else sees. When it comes to the third pool, you cannot rely on what anybody else sees. In the third pool, all that matters is what you see. Amen. I don't care. Amen. On that day when people saw virgins leaving the city, amen, they saw lamps going through the dark. They heard a noise. The bridegroom cometh. They saw and heard all of this. Amen. It doesn't matter what the descriptions are, what they heard. One thing they didn't know and one thing they didn't see and one thing they could not explain is what happened after he closed the door. And I say under the third pool, all that matters is what you see. And what you see, amen, is only given to you by the revelation of God. And if you see by God's revelation, if you know that you've entered into the marriage with the Lamb, amen, then it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Because you were there. And when they ask you to explain it, you've got a really good third pool vision that gives you the right to say, I can't explain it. Because in the vision, they couldn't explain it. It's not always explainable. You can talk about it, but you can't explain it. Amen. You can point to it. Amen. You can try to talk all around it. Amen. But it's you and Jesus Christ becoming persons together. It's an invisible union. Man, I'd like to finish this in Isaiah 62. If we could turn there. I'd like for you to just think with me for a moment. Those who have gone in to the marriage with the Lamb, they know it. They've experienced it. And, you know, it doesn't so much matter what anybody else says or anybody else thinks anymore because it's my experience. And you can see how necessary the third pool is now. Because the third pool of the ministry is the opening of the Word, and it's a revelation to you of who Jesus Christ is. And it's a union of you and Christ, an invisible union. And the reason Brother Bam saw it in the little room and couldn't describe it because he wasn't allowed to talk about it. When he comes to the seventh seal, he feels to stop. He's not going to explain it. He's going to tell you about visions and about things that happened, but he can't tell it to you. Amen. Because when you come down to the third pool, amen, God is trying to build a security in the church that nothing else can create. Because if there's an explanation, somebody else can have a different explanation. If there's a picture painted in the Bible, amen, even if the marriage is described in the Bible, you can have different interpretations. So in the Bible, you don't ever see an explanation of the marriage. You just see the bride's prepared, the marriage has come. What happened? I don't know. The bridegroom call has come, they go out and meet him, went in. What happened? I don't know. It's not described in the Bible. Amen. Brother Branham couldn't talk about it. What happened in the little room? Nobody could explain. What is God trying to do? He's trying to break us off a need for camaraderie and somebody to believe like I believe and somebody to be able to explain it to me and for an intellectual reasoning. He's trying to break us from all the denominational holds. And under the third pool not being explainable, being private between you and Jesus Christ, is to do one thing. It's to get you so solidly rooted in a private revelation, amen, that nobody can move you ever again. No sway of denomination, no system, no intellectual speeches. He's trying to break the church free from that and unite her to himself. Because there's many times I thought, I don't get it. Explain it. Tell me. Teach me. Amen. If he had, somebody would explain something else. But it comes down so personal to a relationship with me in Christ that I've met him and he's revealed himself to me. And nobody can take that away from me. The opening of the word, the seventh seal, has become real to me. Can you explain it really well, Ted? No, I can't explain it really well. Every time I try, eventually I run out somewhere and I run out of words. I run out of examples, but it doesn't matter. Amen. It's me and my Lord. It's him coming for me. It's me hearing the bridegroom call, getting the garment on, being washed by the word and uniting with him. It's him now wanting to live through me. And it's an individual revelation to one person. So when Brother Branham comes to Christ as the mystery of God revealed, he said, all hell is against this teaching to the individual, the revelation, one person, not a group, one man, one person. All hell is against this. Because it's actually the only thing that'll give you rock solid security. And when we come closer and closer to the wrapping up of all things, you're going to find out that that third pool is the only thing that'll work. You know, Brother Bram told us many times that they'll close churches like this and they'll try to stop the bride from preaching. And he says all kinds of things like that. And you wonder about that and how will it happen? Could it be this and could it be that? I don't know. He'll interpret his word by bringing it to pass. I believe that. But look at the wisdom of God. Because once his bride, amen, catches the mystery laying under the seventh seal and comes into her own union with him, God can pull every support away. Because the revelation is all she needs. That's the only thing she needs is to know who he is and who she is in him. That's the only revelation that she needs. And I say, we don't realize how important this third pool is. And how the reason it was displayed in the vision the way it was, the reason Brother Branham explained it the way it was, the reason he preached the seventh seal the way he did, the reason he preached Christ as the mystery the way he did, the reason he preached invisible union is all for the same thing. Amen. He has to come to you. You've got to come out of the city. And he's got to come to you. And through this Son of Man ministry, it's got to unite the two together. And what? In the marriage. And then what's not described in Revelation 19 doesn't need to be described to you because it's experienced, not described. It's real, not just read. It's amazing. Let's read Isaiah 62 together, and we'll finish with this. Let's read verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteous thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as the lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all the kings thy glory, and now shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate. I want you to think of the description of the Laodicean church. When you look at this, this has an application to the Jews and has an application to the bride. He says, thou shalt no more be termed miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. Thou shalt no more, amen, be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah. Hephzibah means my delight is in her. Thou shalt be called my delight is in her, Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, which means married. For thy Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married.
Amen. What is your land? Your land is the Word. Amen. And the Word is Christ. And your land is married. And you're now you're no longer miserable, poor, wretched, blind, and naked. You're now Hephzibah. My delight is in her. I'm not part of Laodicea anymore. I'm the apple of his eye. His delight is in me. He is lifting me out of Laodicea. He is united with me. I'm now in Beulah land. This land has been married to me because this land is the Word that's been restored. And now I'm walking through a married land, Beulah land. And now my name is changed from church to bride. Because the Lord spoken himself, said, I no longer call you church, I'll call you bride so that you'll understand. And now my name is Hephzibah. You can call me Hephzibah if you like. Because I'm no longer forsaken. I'm no longer Laodicean. I'm no longer part of a church or a denomination or a system of man, but I've been freed from all of that, and I've come out of the city. I've heard a bridegroom call. I've been washed by pure water. I've been clothed in a beautiful garment of righteousness, and I've been united with the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb has come. How do you know? Because I've united with the Lamb. That's how I know. Amen. There's a reason it's not described in the Bible, because it's a mystery. In the third pool, it's a mystery of the seventh seal. I thank God for his word. Let's all stand. If you musicians, if you'd like to come, please, let's bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, Lord, for eyes to see and ears to hear. God, we could have never on our own have come to this place. If you hadn't fulfilled your word and sent your prophet, we would be wandering in the wilderness, Lord. We'd be blind and lost and naked. We'd be miserable, Lord. But God, you sent a prophet. God, you worked through him, Lord, the revealing of the Son of Man, and you did all that we needed to come to this marriage, and you've come yourself, Lord. You've come in this day. You've come in this age. You've come to me. You've taken me into the marriage, Lord. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for what you've done. Give us, Lord, give us more grace to see, Lord. Let us stand on this revelation, Lord. When all else fails, let us stand here. For God, you have united with your bride. God, I thank you. I ask that you would continue to give out the eye salve and the wedding garment to those who haven't seen yet. May they come out of the city and come to you and go into the marriage with you too, Lord. God, one by one, you're drawing us in. One by one, you're bringing us into the wedding chamber, to the bridal chamber. One by one, our eyes are becoming open and we're recognizing who we really are. God, I pray that you continue to do the work, that you would do what only you can do, Lord, that you would give divine, supernatural revelation upon your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to live in this day, and thank you for your grace to us. We ask your blessings over everything we've said, Lord. May we go and meditate on these things. And may what no one else saw become the greatest thing in our lives. May the thing that was invisible become the thing that's always before our eyes. The event that matters more to us than life is our union with you. Bless us, Lord. Take us along the way for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, Brother Ben.
There's a table dressed in linen, a banquet is prepared, a host of angels gathered for the celebration there. The bride is almost ready in spotless white array. Hush falls over heaven as the groom begins to say, come away, my love. Come away, my love. I have waited for this day. When I give to you my name, eternity awaits us. Come away, my love. I loved you from creation before you came to me. I carried that love with me all the way. I rose again for you. Come away, my love. Come away, my love. I have waited for this day when I could give to you my name. My love's secrets in that book you know so well. Just look a little closer, you'll find victory over hell. And though it's Satan's Eden and the world's in disarray, the oil With all